kind of ironic. My wife studied children's ministry, and here I am. I'm going to be talking about intergenerational ministry this morning. Sometimes I feel like that's maybe what she should be doing this morning, but hey. One of the biggest reasons that we invest so much time and so many resources into VBS is because of the fact that God has a heart for kids. And want to pause there and stop there this morning. We can't just pass that by. You know, I believe God smiles tremendously when he sees 150 kids or more than 160 kids walk through the doors here to hear about God, learn about his creation, have an encounter with God. And I believe what goes on in churches here and in York and all over the US every summer is a tremendously big part of, and a crucial part of, the way God has designed the church to be, and the way God has designed ministry to be, because God has designed ministry to be intergenerational. And that's what VBS is all about. We come, more than 75 people, helping out to impact kids for 1 week, to see them get to know God. A lot of kids that don't go to this church, maybe don't even go to church at all, that come and are impacted for God. Like Ruth says, we mess up their homes. We mess up their kids. We send them home to mess up their homes. And that whole, kids are a tremendously crucial part of what God is doing. And if you look at the Bible, the Old Testament in particular, we could have a whole Bible study on how it shows, how the Old Testament makes it abundantly clear that God's not just interested in one generation, that God has a plan that spans centuries and is passed on from father to son, from generation to generation, and you and I are a crucial part of that. And VBS and kids are such a crucial part of what God is doing in this church. So we can't pass over that. If we're interested in a long-term vision for City View Community Church, these kids are our future. When we invest in these kids, we're investing in our future. And that's why it's so exciting to see my wife up here completely psyched out, loving VBS, to see, talk about 160 kids, 162, I believe, is the number that came through, impacted for God, because it's our future we're talking about. So I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit about intergenerational ministry. So I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I guess I am windy. I sound windy. I'm trying, Steve. I'm trying. I want to just briefly touch on three ways that we need to use to pass on God's legacy to our children. Three ways that I believe the Bible shows, and I didn't study children's ministry, so I ran this by my wife last night. She okayed it, so it's good to go. But three ways that we can use to pass on God's legacy to our children. And again, our future depends on it. What God has done here in VBS is tremendous. But it doesn't stop here. It's, you know, that the excitement and the energy is great. I love it. But it goes on from here. So we need to pass that legacy on. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, what we're looking at here Deuteronomy, for the most part, deals with Moses' final speech to the Israelites before the Israelites go into the Promised Land. He spends a whole book reiterating everything that he's taught, everything that he's talked about, giving them one final reminder, because as you remember, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the Promised Land. He only saw it. He wasn't allowed to enter in. So he wants to impress on their hearts one final time, listen, you know, this is what you need to do. Remember, don't forget. So we get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is a well-known scripture. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So the first way we teach our kids is we teach through relating. Now, before we get to that, what I find fascinating as I was reading the scripture is the fact that before Moses actually starts talking about teaching kids, he reminds us that these words that he's talking about need to be in our hearts. Because you see, it starts with the declaration, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength." And then he says, "These words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart." Before we can pass on, before we can teach kids, this stuff needs to be in our hearts. If it's not in our hearts, then what we're passing on is dead religion. Okay, so you've got to start there and say, okay, it's got to be in your heart. It's got to be here, because otherwise it's not going to come out. And you see that in this scripture, what I particularly notice is a tremendous togetherness that's expressed in the scripture. In verse 7, talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, what you're seeing is when you get up, when you sit down, when you're on the road, when you're at the dinner table, let kids see your everyday life with God. Teach to them by relating to them. Right? More than words, kids need to see God lived out in our lives. You know, as I was growing up, my dad always said to me that the greatest ministry a man can have is his family. And that always stuck with me because I had a desire to go into ministry. And it's becoming more and more acute in my mind as life pulls at your job and church, but my primary ministry is my kids and my family. And my dad, I saw that in my dad, you know, because I experienced everyday life with my dad. He lived God out. My mum lived God out. But more than that, he invested himself in us. And if we're going to raise up a generation that walks with God, we have to invest ourselves in those kids. You can't say a few words and move on. That's why VBS is great. It's fantastic, and it's a launching pad to move on and to what we're going to do in the fall with Tuesday nights and Sunday mornings, and many of you, day after day, night after night, with kids in your home, invest yourself in your kids. Create togetherness with your kids, because it's in the context of that togetherness that you create a platform to be able to speak into the life of your kid. And when I say kids, I'm not just talking about your actual children, because we have a corporate responsibility as a church for the children that come here. You and I have a responsibility as a part of the body of Christ for the children, the youth, the teenagers that are a part of this church, to invest ourselves in them, to show them the love of God, to live it out. Steve said recently, to get our hands dirty, to get on the floor with them and experience togetherness with our kids. Because only when we relate can we truly impact our kids. So it's got to start there, right? And it's got to start there because it started in our hearts. So it comes from our hearts, overflows into our lives, overflows into togetherness with our kids. Kids are important to God. Again, God's plan spans centuries and generations. Promise he made to Abram in Genesis 15, we could read it, but I don't have time, is not only to Abram, but it's for an offspring. It's for children and children's children. So there's a whole context of kids in the Bible. Children are important in God's plan, and we can't miss that. We can't think that it's all about, you know, us here. That's why VBS and what we're doing, taking time for this, is extremely exciting, because these kids are important. And to see these kids impacted, 24 kids make a first-time decision for Christ. That's phenomenal, amen, right? Amen. So we teach by relating. And relating to kids, it's kind of like plowing the soil. You prepare it. So, no, I'm not a farmer, but I've been told this is the way it works. You plow the soil so that you can sow the seed, and so the seed can grow. I'm told that if you just throw seed on ground, it, you know, you kind of need to plow, make the ground ready, right? That's kind of how that relating works, the togetherness, the investing yourself into kids. That's kind of the nature of how it works. And then when you've done that, that's when you can start to sow seeds. That's when you can start to invest with words. That's when you can teach by reminding. Okay, so we teach by relating, and then we teach by reminding. Notice in that scripture again, in verse 7, there's a tremendous repetition that takes place. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, from the time, I think the Message translates it this way, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, when you're at the dinner table, you know, wherever you are, talk about God. Talk about who God is. Invest in your kids with words. Teach. You know, and that's what we do. That's what we do in VBS. It's what we do on Sunday mornings. It's what we're going to do on Tuesday nights, is investing. Investing, teaching with words. And not just, it's interesting that Moses just doesn't just tell the Israelites to teach their kids just once or just a few times. He's telling them to keep saying it, to keep repeating it over and over again. So talk about the goodness of God. Talk about them when you sit down. Talk about them when you're on the way to school. Keep reminding them. You know, again, getting on the floor with kids, showing them the love and life of God through that togetherness, and then reminding them over and over who God is and what God has done. And if you've done any measure of teaching, you'll know that just saying things once most likely isn't going to get it across. I can say something once, and unless you're brilliant and have an IQ of 160, you might pick it up like that and remember it 5 years from now to the letter. But most of us, when you say something once, you don't remember. And that's why we need to repeat it over and over and over again. And that doesn't have to be boring. If you were here when we had the Paul Tripp series, you know, talking about God with your kids, you know, how when you boil an egg, I don't think he used this example, but this is what came to my mind. You know, you boil an egg, and from this runny substance, you boil an egg, and it becomes hard, it becomes edible, tasty. That whole process is such a beautiful expression of the glory of God and the glory of our Creator. Talking about God doesn't have to be boring, and it doesn't have to be complicated, right? Now, I'm not a teacher. I don't teach kids, but I have my kids. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to be boring. But we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it with our kids. We have to talk about it as a congregation, with young people, with kids. You know, I think if we can talk about iPhones, and if we can talk about apps, and if we can talk about baseball, and if we can talk about football and soccer, I'll throw soccer in there, then we could talk about God with kids, right? Because they need to know. And how are they going to know unless we repeat it to them? That's why it's important that when they come, when these kids come to church, that they come consistently and that they hear it over and over and over again, so it gets into their hearts that it's about God. Because if they don't hear it from us, where are they going to hear it from? Now, I heard somebody said, well, we should, you know, I want to let my kids make their own decision. I want my kids to make their own decision, but I want to teach them what the right one is. Got to keep reminding them. It's interesting that this passage is repeated a number of times in Deuteronomy itself. In Deuteronomy 11, Moses says the same thing again. And then at the end of his whole speech, when he's completely done, in Deuteronomy 32, it says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 45, after Moses finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart, there's the heart again, take to heart all these words I'm giving to you as a warning today, so that you may command your children to carefully follow all the words of this law. There's another verse in Deuteronomy that says, now all of this has taken place so that you would fear God and so that you would instruct your children. Now, there's a clear command. We need to teach our kids. City View needs to teach its kids. Parents, you need to teach your kids. Talk about them. And I find it fascinating that Moses ends with this. Don't want to pass over that, because apparently Moses has a vested interest in the long-term success of what God is doing. And he realizes that children are the key to that. If you're going to pass something on, children are an essential part of that. And again, I've already said this. God has done some amazing things this past week, but this is just the beginning, you know. As we head into the fall, there's a tremendous responsibility and an exciting opportunity to remind kids over and over again of the truth of God's word and the truth of who he is. So as you rise up, as you sit down, as you walk on the way, as you eat, you know, at the dinner table, at lunch, talk about God. Talk about God. So teach through relating, teach through reminding, and then teach through remembering. One of the interesting things I find about the people of Israel is that there's so many feasts and so many rituals for the Israelites. And that can get really tiresome when you're reading through the Old Testament. It's about the Passover again and the lamb and this and that. But when you take a closer look, you begin to notice that a lot of those feasts and rituals actually have a very teaching nature to them. They teach ourselves, but they also teach the next generation. And you see that in several instances in the Bible. I just want to touch on two of them. If you look at Exodus 12, verse 26, this is in the context of the Exodus and the Passover, where the Passover is instituted. God does his final sign, killing the firstborn, but God says, apply the blood of a spotless lamb to your doorposts, and the angel of death will pass over the house. So in verse 26, it says, when your children ask you, what does this ritual mean to you? You are to reply, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and spared our homes. So you see there that one of the reasons Passover is celebrated year after year, and part of the reason that was so important was because it reinforced and it taught the kids to remember what God had done. It related to kids the experience that their fathers and forefathers had with God, and to not let that die down. You know, kids are naturally curious, so, you know, here's this Passover lamb. Dad, why do we do this? They're curious, and it becomes a tremendous teaching opportunity, a teaching moment, so they can talk about the great things. Oh, son, you know, Moses came and he did the signs, and then finally Pharaoh said, let us go, and there was the angel of death, and God brought us out. He parted the Red Sea. Phenomenal to pass on to kids. You see it again in Joshua chapter 4. When they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River, by this time Moses has died, so Joshua's in command. And as they're passing through the Jordan River, it says in Joshua 4 verse 20, Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. They stopped in the middle of the Jordan, took the stones, set them up in Gilgal, and he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. So there's those questions. Mum, why? Dad, why? What a tremendous opportunity to tell the stories of the phenomenal things that God has done in our lives. Why, Dad? Why do we drink the wine and eat? Why do we drink the wine and eat the bread? Why? What a tremendous opportunity! That's one of the few things we have that is a physical reminder, a ritual that we have that serves as a reminder to remember what God has done. And it's a tremendous opportunity. You know, we may not have the same amount of rituals that the Israelites had, but I can assure you that your and my kids will ask the same questions. One day my girls are going to ask me sooner probably than later, Dad, why do you wear that cross around your neck? You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is Easter such a big deal? Why does Pastor Steve say that you have to be here on Easter and you can't, you know, go on vacation? What's the big deal? And we can tell them. We can tell them, you know. We can tell them about our exodus from Egypt. We can tell them about our encounter with God at Mount Sinai, our trip through the desert, the 3 days we spent in the belly of the whale. Not literally, but the experiences we've had with God. It's a tremendous opportunity to talk to kids and remind them, this is what God has done. This is what God has done. This is the kind of God that God is. Let's not be afraid to share with kids the reality of what God has done in us, with us, through us, and in spite of us. No, and again, in the context of VBS and in the context of the children's ministry and what God is doing here, this is tremendously exciting because we have an exciting opportunity. There are 162 kids stoked about church, stoked about God, stoked about their creator because they've just finished a week of VBS. But it doesn't end here. We can't let that excitement and the energy just kind of taper off. You know, it goes on from here into the fall, into when we get home. Investing by relating, teaching by reminding, and teaching them by remembering. For a lot of kids, 24 kids made their first decision. For a lot of kids, this is only the beginning. And you and I have the responsibility, which that sounds heavy, it's an awesome, exciting opportunity to relate God and to have them see the living God in us, in the words we speak and in the stories we tell and in the lives that we live. What an opportunity. There was one girl, I saw so many girls and boys come by that I couldn't possibly remember all their names. I felt bad after 5 days still asking them their name. But there was one girl in particular. I said, I'm going to remember your name. Tomorrow, or this was Thursday, I said, tomorrow when you come, I'm going to remember your name. I said with a smile on my face, and she smiled back, and she walked off. And then she came to the desk on Friday, and I said, Jennifer, right? She said, yes, I got the name. And then as VBS was done, we'd sang the alligator song, and everybody had snapped and everything. Walked off, and she was walking through the doors, and she gave me a hug, which surprised me. Because I'm not the children's ministry guy. I'm the guy that preaches sometimes and leads worship and apparently is loud and long-winded. But even just such a small thing apparently made such a big difference. I was surprised. I haven't been involved in children's ministry a lot, I have to admit. But that surprised me, and I loved it. I loved it because it shows just that little bit of attention, remembering their name. Man. Smiling at them, say, hey, I'm going to remember your name. You mean something to me. Here at church, kids that come through, what an opportunity. Because it's the future that you're investing in. It's the next generation. We can't be a Judges 2 generation where Joshua died and the elders died. And Joshua 2 verse 10 says, another generation rose up that didn't know the great things that God has done. Not on our watch. These kids are going to know what God has done. These kids are going to, we're going to pass on the legacy. Pass on the legacy of what God has done. Invest, teach, remind, remember, tell them the stories. Amen.